Hey friends, Happy New Year. Now that we have feasted on some good mutton biryani, let's feast on God's word. If you have your Bibles with you, and I'm sure many of you have plates in your hands, it's okay. We'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And if you don't have a Bible and you don't want to pick up your phone, you can still find it on the small bulletin. It's in your third page. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. I have a question for all of us here. If you were to share wisdom to someone who's about to enter into an exciting season in their lives, what would you tell them? What would you tell them to value the most in their lives? Here in Deuteronomy, the children of Israel are about to enter the promised land. This land that they've been longing for so long. Their journey to this land hasn't been easy. But here they are, at the edge of the mountain, about to enter the promised land. After wandering around in the wilderness for almost 40 years, they are almost home. And here is their leader, Moses, giving them final instructions and teaching them what they need to keep in mind before they enter the promised land. So Deuteronomy is really about Moses reminding them about their journey. And one of the words you will see repeated throughout Deuteronomy is the word remember. Moses wanted them to remember from their mistakes, all the things that they did wrong. And he also wanted to warn them not to forget what they have learned from their journey. So here in chapter 8, Moses is particularly drawing their attention to their time in the wilderness. And in verse 3, which we are about to read, Moses draws their attention to this one particular incident that happened in the wilderness. So let's read this verse together. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand truths from this verse so that we will be obedient to your commands and we will live lives that will glorify you and lives that will proclaim the gospel to the lost world. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Friends, we need God's word to live. We need God's word to live. I have 2 points for us this evening. Firstly, something to remember. And secondly, something to know. Something to remember and something to know. Something to remember. Look at the first part of the verse. Moses starts off this verse by reminding them that God humbled them by making them hungry. Why did God do this? In order to understand this, we need to move a little bit behind to verse 2 and look at what Moses is saying there. You know, we understand in the last part of that verse that God was actually testing their hearts by allowing them to go through various trials and tough incidents in their life to see if they would be obedient to God's word, if they would be obedient to his commands, if they would depend on him. But we all know that they failed, not once, numerous times. They were not obedient to God. They were not obedient to God, and they were not obedient to what God was telling them to do. They wanted it in their own way. The Israelites were not faithful in their side of the covenant. They murmured. They grumbled. Often they were angry with God, and often they said, God is unfair. Friends, how many times have we, like the Israelites, felt the same way about God? You know, we have said things like, God is so unfair. How can God do such a thing? God doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. If he cared for me, why would he allow me to go through such an issue? I hate God. Maybe you didn't say these words out loud, but sometimes you felt these words in your heart. It is true that God let them hunger, but friends, don't miss the important part of that verse. God did feed them. God didn't leave them to starve and die because of their unfaithfulness towards God, but rather God fed them with manna, which they did not know. It was a miracle how God fed them. And that's the thing with God. He always shows up in ways which are unique and something that only God can do. And friends, here's the encouragement for all of us. God is always faithful in His part of the covenant. When He covenants with His people, though He may test us, He will never leave us, nor not care for us. He's a faithful, loving Father that we can trust at all times, even when we are unfaithful to God. I am sure, you know, on this day, the New Year's, it's usually when we reflect. I'm sure, friends, when you reflect through your life like I did earlier this morning, there would be many times you would have seen how you've been unfaithful to God. Many times when you have intentionally sinned against Him. Yet, I'm sure you will see through it all, you can see God's faithfulness towards each one of us. We are even alive because of His mercy. Friends, remember our God's faithfulness towards us. And that's really what Moses is telling them. Remember, He cares for you. Remember, when you didn't deserve, God showed mercy to you. Reflect and see what are some of the ways you see God's faithfulness in your past, especially the last year, despite all our unfaithfulness towards God or all the sins that we have committed against God. This incident that Moses is reminding them of is not so that they will be informed about what God did, but there was a greater truth that Moses wanted them to know. If you look at that verse, you see that He might make you know. So there is something Moses wanted them to know, and that brings us to the second point, something to know. What did Moses want them to know and want us to know today? That's the second part of the verse, that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God did these miracles to teach that man lives not by these material sustenance, but ultimately by God's divine word. That is what really gives us life. Friends, did you notice that word there, live, in that verse? The word of God is seen to be something that gives life. God's word is what gives us life. Friends, our physical needs, they are temporary and never ending. It can never be fully satisfied because we always want more. I mean, think about it. We set our eyes on something that's new in the market. We want to grab a hold of it. We spend money, we buy it, we spend so much time, you know, studying this gadget. Let's imagine you got a new phone and all the features, you want to check it out and you enjoy it thoroughly for almost a few months, and then what happens? We are bored. We want something else. Isn't this really the cycle of our lives? The fact of the matter is this. None of these material things can really satisfy our deepest needs, because our deepest needs are not really the physical needs. The deepest needs of our hearts are the spiritual needs. It can't be met by other created things. God created us with that need in our hearts that can be only met by God. Only He can satisfy the deepest needs of our hearts. But friends, there is an issue. Like the disobedient hearts of the Israelites, Colossians 3:6 says that by nature we, that is all of humanity, our children of disobedience. Our hearts have a problem. We are disobedient to God as well. Our hearts don't want to do anything with God. But friends, God in His mercy has dealt with our hearts, and He has done it by sacrificing His own Son, Jesus. God has met the need of our hearts through His Son, Jesus. Jesus, through His life, death, and resurrection, has met every demand that you and I could never meet. And he took our place and died for our sins, bearing the wrath that you and I deserved to set our hearts free today so that we can obey God with a genuine heart. Friends, we can grow in holiness and obedience because God is sanctifying us. And how is he doing that? He's doing that through his word and through the Spirit who lives in us. Ephesians 5 says that the Lord is sanctifying his church and nourishing his church. How? Through the word. Food, wealth, gadgets, maybe relationships, friendships, everything else that we're looking for in this world might give us momentary happiness, but the deep, everlasting joy and satisfaction that we long for comes only when we put our faith in God and when he nourishes our hearts through his word. When God meets our spiritual need through his word, friends, it will stand time and any situations in life. How many times have you heard other members walk up to you and said, I had a really tough week, but thanks be to God's word, it encouraged my heart. It will stand any time and any situation. Also, when God meets our spiritual needs through his word, it really kills selfishness and makes our hearts selfless. You know, physical needs is really about us, and God's word will change that and make us remember that it's not about us, it's about him and his people. It also keeps us from falling into temptation. You know, Jesus quoted this verse in Matthew when he was tempted. And the encouraging thing is, Jesus set an example for all of us on why God's word keeps us from falling into temptations. Friends, we can learn from Jesus. We can trust in Jesus. If God's word is what we all need and what gives us life, I have some questions for us to consider. Firstly, if you're not a Christian, we're glad that you're here. What are you looking to satisfy your hearts? Clearly, we have learned one truth, that nothing in this world will really satisfy the deepest need of our hearts. Only God can satisfy that, and he does that through his son, Jesus. Friends, if you repent of your sins and believe in Jesus' finished work, you will be saved, and you can have this relationship with God, and you will be truly satisfied. For us as Christians, individually, do we hunger for God's word? If you and I were to survey our lives over the past year, where have you spent most of your time? Was it here or was it here? You know, I don't want to be legalistic to say that you shouldn't use your phone, you shouldn't go on social media, you shouldn't do any of those things. That's not what I'm doing. But let's be honest. How often were you eager to hear God's voice compared to the world's noise? You know, a pattern that I've seen about my heart, and I'm sure for many of you seated here, is when life gets really busy, the thing that we push aside is always God's word. You know what? I don't have time. I'll read God's word tomorrow. And then that tomorrow becomes a few more days, weeks, months, and we forget to get back to God's word. To all the families and parents here, what are the examples we're leaving for our children, for our families? Is God's word central in our family? What do we talk to each other in our homes? You know, one of the best ways you can find out is by asking your family members. Ask them, what do they see in you? Do they see you as a person who is marked by God's word? You know, something interesting about this verse is this, that Moses is not giving these commands to just one person, but it is to the nation Israel. There is a corporate implication for all of us as a church as well. Church, as members, how much do we value studying God's word together? Is that something that really excites us? Or something that, you know, you're like, oh, there's another Bible study. There's another devotion. Are we excited to study God's word with, you know, our church members? Even when you go through tough times in life, who do you run to seek counsel? We need friends and leaders who share counsel from God's word. Elders, I want to encourage you. You need God's word to counsel your flock. Also, as members, friends, what's our heart's posture as we come to church gathering every week? You know, in our church, we pray the word, we preach the word, we sing the word, we see the word. Everything that happens in Covenant Hope Church is informed by the word of God. Are we listening intently to the word of God in our services? I want to end by sharing a true story that happened in my life that changed my perspective about many things. When I was 22, I visited a mission field in Chhattisgarh called Jagadalpur. And I went there to visit this brother named Jim Matthews. And he is someone who's planted a lot of churches there. And all of these churches are in villages. They have nothing there. And I remember going to this one particular event where he invited all the village believers to come together to this one particular village to just for like just a one-day retreat. And we got there early and we had to wait a long time because people are coming from really far away villages. And as I was standing outside and greeting everybody, there was this one brother who walked up to the entrance and he was really weak. He was drenched in his own sweat. And I felt sorry for him. And I asked, brother, are you okay? Like, do you need some water? And he's like, yeah, yeah, it's fine. The moment he saw me, his face just lit up. He was so excited to see me. And he just wanted to spend time with me. And then soon after he walked by, I looked at the brother who was helping me with translation. I looked at him and I said, is he okay? And then he looked at me and he said, you know why he's drenched in sweat? And I said, probably because he's been walking from another village to this village. And he said, you're right, but the distance is really important. And then he told me, this brother walked for almost 70 kilometers to make it to this gathering. 70 kilometers. I was very convicted, so I ran back to this brother and I asked him, brother, why? Why 70 kilometers? Why would you walk so much to come here? And he looked at me and he said, brother, I can't read. I'm not educated. I'm illiterate. I don't have a Bible. When I heard that someone who can explain the Bible has come, where else would I be? Friends, what do we lack in our lives? Education? We all have education. Is it resources? By God's grace, we all have God's word in many of our languages. But yet, it's always His word that we keep aside, right? We need God's word to live. I don't think it's by any chance we're doing this text on a new year. I know many of you have many resolutions for this year, and maybe some of you don't. But friends, here's something I've been praying for my heart as I've been preparing this passage, that this year I'd like to grow in delighting God's word and be marked as someone who loves His word and lives according to His word. That's something I'm going to be praying for all of us as well. And let this be something that we pray for all of us as a church, that our church will be a church that is marked by God's word. Friends, we need God's word to live. Let's pray. Father, help us to grow, to live by every word that comes out of your mouth through your word. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. Before I sit, I just want to announce one more thing. It's an exciting news. Both Binita and I, we